This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Last time we stopped at the martyrdom of Umar radiallahu anhu, and we talked about how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was chosen as the Khalifa, and then after that we talked about how Umar radiallahu anhu was chosen as the Khalifa. But now let's start with what happened after Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed during Salat al-Fajr in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And subhanallah, isn't it amazing that one time when the Prophet ﷺ was on the top of the mountain of Uhud, and the mountain of Uhud started shaking, trembling, and the Prophet ﷺ talked to the mountain of Uhud and he said, "Uthbut Uhud, fama alayka illa nabi wa siddiq wa shahidan." He said, "Be firm, Uhud." Can you imagine Uhud, a mountain that's made of rocks and iron, has feelings? The mountain felt the presence of the Prophet ﷺ on top of it, so started shaking out of love. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Uhud jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu." Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. And it's amazing that the Prophet ﷺ told us that Uhud is a mountain in Jannah. This is why when we go for Umrah and we go and visit, or during Hajj, and we visit the mountain of Uhud, I tell people, can you imagine? This is a place from Jannah. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Uthbut Uhud, be firm Uhud, there is none on top of you except a Prophet, a Siddiq, and Shahidan," which means there is none on top of you except Prophet, who is a Prophet? Prophet Muhammad sallam. Siddiq, that was Abu Bakr. And then he said, "Wa shahidan." He meant Abu Bakr, sorry, Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhuma. So when you think about this, everybody would think that Umar and Uthman will die in the battle, because he said shahidan. But when you think about it, how did Umar die? He died leading Salat al-Fajr, but he was stabbed. This is how he got the Shahada, and he died in the Medina of the Prophet ﷺ too. So he got the two blessings. So after, when Umar radiallahu anhu felt that he is passing away, he recommended the following. He said, "I will recommend six names amongst the best amongst the Sahaba. And what I want you to do, I'm going to appoint my son Abdullah. He's not part of the six, but he's just there to moderate and give advice." And they said, "Why?" Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was one of the best Sahaba. He said, "It's enough that one of Al al-Khattab will make it to hellfire. I don't want two of them to go to hellfire." Allahu Akbar. Even though he's promised Jannah, but he was so conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he didn't like another one from the family of al-Khattab to be given the big responsibility of being the Khalifa of the Ummah. So he appointed, or he nominated, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Az-Zubayr ibn Al-Awwam, and Abdurrahman ibn Awf. These are six amongst the best of the Sahaba, and they are also amongst the 10 who were promised Jannah while they were still walking on earth. He said they should make shura amongst themselves and pick one. Pick one of them. So the six of them met and they agreed on delegating Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf to take care of the matter by going around and asking the opinion of people who are wise and knowledgeable amongst the Sahaba, people who can be trusted to make decisions. Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anh went around and he started asking the opinion of people. And subhanAllah, there was almost a unanimous agreement that the top two amongst the six are Uthman and Ali. Are Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhuma. And there was a preference more of Uthman over Ali amongst most of the people. So with that, Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf decided a day and they make an announcement, As-Salatu Jami'ah, meaning bring everybody to the mosque. And then they brought all the people and they said, Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf went to the member and he made a long dua that the people have never heard before. And then he called Ali radiallahu anhu in front of everyone. And he said, Ali, give me your hand. Shall you give me the pledge of allegiance that you will be the Khalifa on one condition, that will follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whatever he himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and Abu Bakr and Umar? And Ali said, no. If I become the Khalifa, I'll do my best and to the best of my abilities, as if he's saying, I cannot guarantee that will be up to the level of Abu Bakr and Umar, and I cannot make that promise. So Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf took his hand out of the hand of Ali radiallahu anhu. And then he asked him to sit down. Then he called Uthman in front of the people. And he said, Uthman, I'm giving you the pledge of allegiance to rule the Ummah on one condition, that you will follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his actions and the actions of Abu Bakr and Umar. Would you promise to do this? And Uthman said, yes. So he said, I give you the pledge of allegiance to be the Khalifa of the Muslims after Umar. And all the people came and they gave Uthman radiallahu an al-bay'ah, the pledge of allegiance that he's going to be the ruler of the Ummah. And this is how Uthman radiallahu an was chosen after the martyrdom of Umar radiallahu an. Let's go back and talk about Uthman radiallahu an. What's his name? What's his full name? His name is Uthman ibn Affan ibn al-As, as you see. And this is where he meets with the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ, ibn Umayyah. So as you can see, he meets with the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ on the third grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ. This is how Uthman radiallahu anhu is close to the Prophet ﷺ. And that's Abd Manaf, the third grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The title of Uthman radiallahu anhu that he was famous for is Dhun-Nurayn. And Dhun-Nurayn means the one with the two lights. And the reason Uthman radiallahu anhu was called Dhun-Nurayn, it was because he married two of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're going to talk about this later on inshallah. So the two lights here are symbols of the two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where was he born? He was born in Mecca, radiallahu anhu. And when was he born? He was born on the sixth year after the year of the elephant. And we always mention the year of the elephant because the Prophet ﷺ himself was born in the year of the elephant. So you can tell how, you know, or what's their age compared to the Prophet ﷺ. So, how many years was he younger than the Prophet ﷺ?
6 years.
Excellent. So, what is the tribe of Uthman radiallahu anhu? It's Banu Umayyah. And he was very respected member of the tribe of Banu Umayyah. And he also was known to be one amongst the richest amongst the Sahaba. And I always call him the millionaire who went to Jannah by utilizing his money, as we will see inshallah in his seerah. And we always say, إِذَا ذُكْرَ الْحَيَاءِ ذُكْرَ عُثْمَان. Last time we said, إِذَا ذُكْرَتِ الشَّجَاعَةِ أَوْ الْعَدْلِ عَفْوًا إِذَا ذُكْرَ الْعَدْلِ ذُكْرَ عُمَر. If justice was to be mentioned, then Umar was to be mentioned. And if haya, modesty, and shyness is to be mentioned, then Uthman ibn Affan will be the first one who is known for his haya, as we will see inshallah from certain situations that will come. وَإِذَا ذُكْرَتِ الشَّجَاعَةَ ذُكْرَ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. If courage is mentioned, then Ali radiallahu anhu is the one who was very well known for his courage. Also, Uthman radiallahu anhu was known to be a very eloquent speaker, and he would never, you know, use any foul language. Before Islam, one of his qualities is that he never made sujood to any of the idols in Mecca. And also, you know, he never was engaged in the social malaises and the evils of his community at that time, like drinking alcohol and womanizing. He never committed adultery. The story of his Islam. How did he come to Islam? And how old was he? Uthman radiallahu anhu was 34 years old when Islam was introduced to him by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Remember when we said about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? We said that once he became a Muslim, he invited people to Islam, and he was the means or the reason to guide 6 amongst the 10 promised Jannah while they were still alive. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was one of them. And subhanAllah, his Islam was very easy. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu introduced Islam to him, he did not hesitate. And he was the 4th Muslim in the history of Islam. After whom? I'm talking about the men. After Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Ali radiallahu anhu, and Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. So he was number 4. But who is the first one ever to accept Islam? No, I'm saying the first one ever. I didn't say gender here. Don't be gender biased, brothers. Yeah, say it loudly. Be proud. She was a woman, right? Khadija radiallahu anha. And who was the first martyr in Islam ever? A woman again. Shame on you, brothers. Okay, what's her name? Sumayya radiallahu anha. Who's Sumayya? The wife of? Yasir. The mother of? Ammar ibn Yasir. This is the family that were under torture all the time, and every time the Prophet ﷺ would pass by them and they would ask him, Ya Rasulullah, the only thing he would offer them, he would say, Sabran ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idukum al-jannah. I have nothing to give you. Just be patient and
we're going to meet together inshallah in Jannah, because the three of them, subhanallah, died as martyrs. The first one was Sumayya, and then she was followed by her husband, and later on, you know, at the time of the fitna after that, of Umar, of Ali radiallahu anhu, because the Prophet ﷺ told him, Ya Ammar, taqtuluka al-fi'a al-baghiya. Because when the Sahaba disagreed, one of them was right and the other party was wrong. But the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, Ammar, the party which is wrong will kill you. And that told us that the party of Ali radiallahu anhu was the right one, because Ammar at that time was with Ali. And we're going to talk about this inshallah next week. And please, talk to all of them. Okay. His first marriage was to Ruqayya, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will be amazed to know that Ruqayya was married before Islam to her cousin, right? No, it's not her cousin. You know Abu Lahab, what's his real name? Does anybody know the real name of Abu Lahab? Not Abu Hakam. Amr ibn Hisham, that's Abu Jahl. Yeah. I'm talking about Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. What's his real name? Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib. So what's his real name? Abd al-Uzza. Al-Uzza was one of the idols next to the Kaaba. Okay? So subhanAllah, he chose a name to be the slave of one of the idols. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a surah later on when he refused Islam. It's surah number 111. You can never miss that. It's called Al-Masad. And by the way, this is the only surah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attacking a person by name. Allah never did this in the Quran. Allah named him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed him in the Quran. Why? Because he insulted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one of his sons, you know, two of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were married to the sons of Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab is the uncle of the Prophet. Is that clear now? So that was before Islam. When Islam came, and you know all the story, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala da'wah passed through three stages, the first stage was called al-da'wah sirriyah, the confidential da'wah. That was almost the first 3 years, and the Sahaba used to meet in the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam, a young man, 17 years old. He used to host them, and they used to meet secretly. After that stage, they moved to the second stage when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. O Muhammad, instead of meeting confidentially now, start giving da'wah to your close relatives. The third stage of da'wah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ. O Muhammad, make it public. And turn your back away from those who are mushriks. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he got this ayah, he went to the highest point of Mecca, which was the mountain of As-Safa. And he said, Wa subha. What's Wa subha? It's the cry of war. When someone says this, it means there's an enemy coming to attack. So all the leaders of Mecca and everybody rushed to the mountain of Safa. And the first one to be there was Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then look at the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam started this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if I were to tell you that there's an army behind this valley coming to attack you, would you believe me? They said, yes. He said, why? He said, because you have lived amongst us for 40 years and you never lied. Look at this. So the Prophet ﷺ got it from them. He said, then I just want to share with you that I am the messenger of Allah. Once he said that, the first one to refuse him was his own uncle, Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib. So he waved to his face, he said, تَبَّلْ لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمِ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا Are you gathering us for this nonsense to tell us that you are the messenger of God? May you perish by the end of today. And the Prophet ﷺ was so decent, he wouldn't talk back. Even though that's his own uncle and he's insulting him in public, but he told us, we cannot do that. So he held his tongue, but God revealed a Quran that will be recited till the day of judgment, and that's chapter or surah number 111 called Al-Masad. And the revelation came.
تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد.
So how many hands were waved to the face of the Prophet ﷺ? One. But Allah said, تبت يدا. May the two hands of Abu Lahab perish, and may he himself perish. Allah did not say halakat, but he said tabbat. Allah didn't say satatib yada Abu Lahab. Allah is not talking about the future, even though it did not happen right away. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided something, he would say kun fayakun, be, and it is. So Allah decided, and it was written. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. What's the next ayah? مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ. Because once he heard this, he said, oh, Muhammad is saying poetry, satirizing me. You know the word satire in English? When somebody, you know, writes a poem to attack someone else. They call it hija in the Arabic language. In English, we call it satire. So he said, is Muhammad satirizing me? Because they don't believe in the Quran. They said, this is poetry. He said, Muhammad satirizing me? Do you know what I will do? If there is hellfire, what's going to happen? He said, I have lots of children. We're going to take care of the angels. We're going to run away. Or I have lots of money. I can bribe them. We're going to get out of that hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. So if we translate وَمَا كَسَبْ literally in English, what would it be? And whatever he gains, right? Whatever he made as of gain, right? But subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, Al-waladu kasbu abi, meaning any child that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers you, that's something earned by you from God. So the word kasab here means his children. And then Allah said, سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ. He will burn in a fire that has a flame. So his wife, when she heard this too, she said, oh, Muhammad is satirizing my husband. You know what? She had a necklace that was very precious and valuable. She said, I'm gonna sell this and I'm gonna use the money to make the life of Muhammad difficult. So she used to bring some rocks and thorns and put it in the way of the Prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. Since she was doing this to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said she will be the one parting with him in hellfire, and she will be the one carrying the wood to increase the flame around him in hellfire. فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِنْ مَسَدٍ. Because she used to have a necklace that she will spin to harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will put a rope around her neck that she will be tied to her husband so she would not leave him in hellfire, and both of them will be burning there. Someone accepted Islam because of this surah. You know why? Because do you know how many years Abu Lahab lived after the revelation of this surah? 10 years. How many years? 10 years. What could he have done to embarrass the Prophet? He could just come out one day, just lying, or out of hypocrisy, and he would say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. What's going to happen to this surah? How could he go to hellfire? He's going to take shahada. But who knows what you will do without interfering in your decision? Who knows that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a man said, if Allah promised in the Quran that this man is going to go to hellfire, and he gave him the chance to live for 10 years, and he has all the right to come out and accept Islam, yet he didn't do that. So this is the one who knows the future. And these are not the words of Muhammad. These are the words of the creator of Muhammad. And he took shahada. How many times have we read this surah? So when this surah was revealed, there was a reaction from Abu Lahab. What did he do? He told his two sons, who were married to, give me the names, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum. So they went, and both of them, they divorced the two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ. But one of them was so rude that when he came to the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, your Utbah, he said, your daughter is divorced. And he spat on the Prophet ﷺ. When he did this, the Prophet ﷺ made dua against him. He said, Allahumma sallat alayhi kalban min kilabik. He said, oh Allah, assign him, and the word he used, he said, one of your dogs. And when a dog is ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is attributed to Allah, it doesn't mean a dog, it means a lion. So once Abu Lahab heard this, he knows that the dua of the Prophet ﷺ is accepted. So every single time he will travel, he'll make sure he takes his son Utbah with him. And he will make sure that there are so many people guarding him. Because he knew if the Prophet ﷺ said that, his son will die in such a way. Until the day came. And he was traveling. And he had the people, all the people camping around his son, thinking this is going to be protection from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, he sent a lion while everybody was sleeping. And that lion, subhanallah, went in and he left everyone until he arrived to Utbah. And he devoured him. And that was the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. So once Utbah divorced Ruqayya, and Uthman heard about this, he rushed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked the hand of Ruqayya for marriage, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam right away, you know, married Ruqayya to Uthman radiallahu anhu. Now, you remember the story of Umar radiallahu anhu when he proposed, you know, Hafsa radiallahu anhu after she lost her husband to Abu Bakr and to Uthman radiallahu anhu, and both of them were silent. And then when Umar was mad, he went to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I proposed to Abu Bakr and Uthman and they wouldn't accept my daughter in marriage. And subhanAllah, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him, you know, just to make it easy for him? He said, listen, Umar, your daughter will marry someone who's better than Uthman, and Uthman will marry someone who's better than Hafsa. Did you understand the story now? Because who married Hafsa? The Prophet ﷺ. And of course, the Prophet is better than Abu Bakr and Uthman. And Uthman married someone who is better than Hafsa. Who is she? Ruqayya, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. But do you know the reason why Abu Bakr and Uthman refused to talk when Umar offered his daughter in marriage? SubhanAllah, they said, we heard the Prophet ﷺ talking about Hafsa. And Abu Bakr said, wallahi, if the Prophet ﷺ didn't marry her, Umar, I'll have the honor to marry her. So look how much they respected the Prophet ﷺ. Just hearing him talking about her, nobody, you know, accepted her marriage. Now, that Uthman radiallahu anhu married Ruqayya, and both of them are Muslims now. And then the persecution and the oppression of Mecca to the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, reached its peak. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know what? I give you permission to migrate. He said, in Abyssinia, there is a very fair king, An-Najashi, Negus, and that's a title, that's not a name. The title of anybody who would be ruling over there, like in Egypt at that time, it's called Al-Muqawqis. That's not a name. It's the title of the ruler of Egypt at that time. Like Kisra, who was, again, it's a title for the leader of which empire? The Persian Empire. And Caesar, Caesar, he was also the Romans leader. Did I say Caesar? Somebody looked at me, he smiled, because they like Caesar salad, right? Okay. It has nothing to do with Romans, okay? So, the Prophet ﷺ told them, I allow you to immigrate. So can you imagine who were amongst the first to immigrate to Abyssinia? This is called the first hijra. It was Uthman radiallahu anhu and Ruqayya. Can you imagine leaving their homeland? Ruqayya leaving her own father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Uthman leaving his own tribe and traveling there. And that was a big test for them, subhanallah. Until they heard rumors. In fact, Uthman, subhanallah, after accepting Islam, he was tortured by one of his tribe by the name of Al-Hakam ibn al-As from Banu Umayyah. And he was hoping that Uthman will give up on Islam. But when he saw that Uthman radiallahu anhu was firm, so he gave up on him and he left him to be a Muslim. And now they immigrated to Abyssinia. But later on, there was rumors, which was not true, that all of the people in Mecca became Muslims. So Uthman radiallahu anhu and Ruqayya came back and they were very happy. But once they arrived in Mecca, they found out that it was not true, it was rumors. So they stayed in Mecca until the second immigration, which was immigration to Medina. And then they were given permission to travel to Medina. Moving on to talk about his close relationship and attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we're going to talk about this later on when the time of fitna will start at the end of the khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu. But let me just remind you again, how long was the khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Almost 2 years and a half, give and take 4 months, right? How long was the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu? 10 years. How long would the khilafah of Uthman be? 12 years. That was the longest. He was the longest amongst the khulafa. Subhanallah. Do you know how old was Uthman radiallahu anhu when he became the khalifa? He was in his early 80s. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine somebody in his late 80s and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the spiritual strength and the physical strength? Imagine somebody in his 80s now, they could be suffering from dementia, they could have, you know, problems, you know, so many medical issues. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in the life and the health of someone and uses them, subhanallah. That was Uthman radiallahu anhu. So during the Battle of Badr, because some people always talk about this, that, you know, Uthman radiallahu anhu did not attend the Battle of Badr. But the question is, why didn't Uthman radiallahu anhu attend the Battle of Badr? Ruqayya radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, was suffering from measles, you know, and she was very sick. And Uthman radiallahu anhu wanted to go and leave her behind and join the Battle of Badr. But the Prophet ﷺ commanded him. He said, no, Uthman, go back and, you know, tend to Ruqayya and take care of her. And subhanallah, he wouldn't refuse the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he stayed behind to take care of his wife, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And once the good news came to Uthman radiallahu anhu that the Muslims won the Battle of Badr, that was the moment when Ruqayya passed away. And once, you know, Ruqayya radiallahu anha passed away, the Prophet ﷺ right away offered him Umm Kulthum, and he married her right away. Amazingly enough, after Umm Kulthum died later on, you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, by Allah, if I have a third daughter, I would marry her to Uthman. This is how close Uthman was to the Prophet ﷺ. Uthman, as I told you, was known for his modesty and shyness. They said he never took a shower, taking off all of his clothes. He'll always be covering his awrah even while he's taking a shower. This is how modest he was, subhanallah. And there is also a famous story that the Prophet ﷺ one day, it was the day of Aisha, and he was sitting in the room of Aisha, and he was like reclining, and his clothes, you know, were exposing, you know, his knee and part of his thigh. And then they said Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knocked on the door to ask permission to come in. And then the Prophet said, when he heard his name, he said, come in. Because who is Abu Bakr? He is the father of Aisha. And then they said, Aisha said, the Prophet ﷺ never moved and never, you know, changed the way he was sitting. And then he said, she said, after that, Umar came and he knocked on the door and he was asking for permission. And then the Prophet ﷺ allowed him to come in and he did not change the way he was sitting. But then when Uthman radiallahu anh knocked on the door and the Prophet said, who? He said, Uthman ibn Affan. The Prophet sat up and he covered his knees. And then he was asked, they said, Prophet of Allah, أَوَتَسْتَحِي مِنْ Uthman? Like, do you feel shy from Uthman? He said, كَيْفَ لَا أَسْتَحِي مِنْ رَجُلٍ تَسْتَحِي مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. How can't I feel shy of someone out of whom the angels feel shy? Because the angels have never seen his awrah, even if he was in private. And subhanAllah, later on when we're going to share the story of his martyrdom, his main concern, because he knew that they're going to come and kill him that day, you know, he was trying to cover his awrah with so many stuff so that when they kill him, his awrah will not be exposed. So this is the haya of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Let's talk about the main quality after haya when it comes to Uthman radiallahu anhu. It is his generosity. The way he gave, subhanAllah, he was not matched. He was not matched. Of course, after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because every time Abu Bakr will be asked to give, he'll bring everything. But Uthman was so wealthy, so wealthy. First thing that's known about his support to the Muslim community, you know that the people in Mecca live in the desert. And there was always shortage of water because sometimes there's a drought, there's no rain. So their main source of water was wells and springs, right? So there was a famous well that has sweet water called Roma. And that well was owned by a Jewish person. So if you want to get a drink, you have to pay money for that. So Uthman was a very successful businessman. And he knows, you know, how to bargain. So he went to the Jewish man who owned the well, and he said to him, would you like to sell that well? And the man said, yes. He said, what about sharing? Look at the strategy of Uthman radiallahu anhu. He said, no problem. He said, okay, I'll buy half of the well. So you can use the well one day and I will use it one day. And he gave him the money. And then the day of Uthman, he made a public announcement. He said, my day, the well is free for anyone to go and get drink from the well. So of course, lots of people will go to the well that day and they will take lots of water. So the other day, when the Jewish man, he wanted to make money out of that, he wouldn't find lots of water. Until he came to a point, he said, you know what? Uthman, why don't you buy my share out and you give the whole well? So instead of giving him 25,000, he ended up giving him 5,000. He said, are you sure? He said, yes. He said, okay, I'll buy your share. And then again, he made a public announcement. He said, the Bi'r of Roma is for Allah and His Messenger. Whoever wants to take money out of there, whether they're rich or poor, go ahead and use that water. This is how generous Uthman radiallahu anhu. Imagine what's waiting for him in Akhirah, you know, because of such a blessing that he gave to the Ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, was doing a fundraiser for expansion of his masjid, and he wanted to buy a land that was next to the masjid because the number of Muslims was growing. So he wanted to raise some funds. And subhanAllah, Uthman, once hearing this, he rushed right away and he bought the land and he gave it to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, this is for Allah and His Messenger. So he would never hesitate because he knows that once he gives, Allah promised, Allah will give more and more. To the degree that One day, he had a full caravan of camels on top of where the best merchandise. And then once the caravan arrived, that caravan of camels, fully equipped with merchandise that was very expensive, once it arrived in Medina, you know, all the business people rushed because they know the quality of the business of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And one of them, without even, like just the caravan just arrived, they did not even go to the warehouse or anything. He said, Uthman, I'll just take that and I'll give you double the price, meaning 100%. And Uthman said, no, I have someone who'll give me more. Then another one gave him another offer. He said, Uthman, I'll give you triple. Can you imagine? Triple the value of your merchandise. He said, I have someone who's offering me more. Then another one said, listen, Uthman, I'll give you four times the value of your merchandise. And Uthman said, I have a better offer. I have someone who'll give me more. Then another one came and said, Uthman, we are the experts in business in this city. No one will ever give you more than what I'm going to offer you now. So you better give it to me. I'll give you five times the value of your merchandise. And then Uthman said, I'm sorry. I have someone who's offering me better than your, you know, your offer. He said, who else will offer you more? He said, Allah, all this is for the poor of the Muslims, and I don't want anything out of it except the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why, you know, he started with millions and he ended up after that with billions, because he made business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the way Uthman radiallahu anhu used to give. Another example, at the time of the expedition of Tabuk, and this is known in the history of Islam as Jaysh al-Usra. You know, the word Usra means time of difficulty or time of distress. You know, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to prepare the army, and he started again fundraising. Who would give to help us prepare the army to go to Tabuk? And some people were giving, like, you know, somebody's giving 100, somebody's giving this. And Uthman would say, I'll give a camel fully equipped. And that meant, at that time, almost 100,000. And the Prophet ﷺ kept saying, who would give more? And Uthman said, I'll give another one. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, who would give more? Uthman said, I'm going to give another one. I'll give another one. I'll give another one. I'll give another one. Until he almost like reached 10 times, which is almost like 1 million. And the Prophet ﷺ, at that point, he raised his hand to Allah and he said, Allahumma inni qad amsaytu radiyan an Uthman. Allahumma farda an Uthman. Ayyuhan nas, ma dharra Uthman ma fa'ala ba'da al-yawm. He said, oh Allah, tonight I'm pleased with Uthman. Ya Allah, be pleased with Uthman. And then he said, oh people, whatever Uthman will do after this, Allah will never hold him accountable. He has confirmed his spot in Jannah, radiallahu anhu. This is how Uthman radiallahu anhu used to give. Let's talk about his virtues. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu al-Ash'ari, in the hadith collected by Sahih Muslim, or in Sahih Muslim, he said, one day, like, I appointed myself as the guard of the Prophet ﷺ behind one of the walls. I just wanted him to get some space and privacy. I don't want anybody to disturb him. But then he said, I'm sitting there, and then Abu Bakr shows up. And look at the order, subhanAllah. And then he said, Ala rislik, stop until I seek permission for you from the Prophet ﷺ. You know, I wanted to give him some privacy. So he went to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Abu Bakr is here. Shall I give him permission to see you? And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, give him permission and give him the glad tidings that he's going to be in Jannah, inshallah. And the Prophet ﷺ was sitting and his legs were like dangling in one of those wells. So subhanAllah, Abu Bakr came, sat next to the Prophet ﷺ, and he did the same like the Prophet ﷺ. A few minutes later, guess what? Umar, look at the order again, showed up. And Abu Musa said, "Ala rislik, hold on, let me get you permission from the Prophet ﷺ." So he went to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Prophet of Allah, Umar is behind the wall, shall I give him permission?" He said, "I'dhan lahu wa bashirhu bil jannah." He said, "Yes, give him permission and give him the glad tidings that he will make it to Jannah." And then Umar radiallahu anhu came and he sat next to Abu Bakr. And he again did the same thing like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Guess what? A few minutes later, remember the order. Uthman radiallahu anhu showed up. And again Abu Musa said, "Hold on, wait until I get you permission." He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Prophet of Allah, Uthman is here behind the wall. Shall I give him permission?" He said, "I'dhan lahu." Look at the addition here. وَبَشِّرْهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فِي بَلْوَى تُصِيبُهُ. He said, give him permission and give him the glad tidings that he will go through a lot of affliction and a hardship and he will be in Jannah. And that's what we'll see at the very end, inshallah, of his life tonight, today, inshallah. And then, subhanAllah, a few minutes later, guess what? Of course, Uthman sat next to Umar radiallahu anhu and did the same thing like the Prophet ﷺ. A few minutes later, Ali radiallahu anhu showed up. Look at the order. And then Abu Musa said, "Hold on until I get you permission." He did the same thing and the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, "I'dhan lahu wa bashirhu bil jannah." Even though, subhanAllah, Umar died as a martyr, he was stabbed in Salat al-Fajr, Uthman will be stabbed, as we will see at the end of this story today. Ali radiallahu anhu also will be stabbed, but the only one that was mentioned in this hadith was only Uthman, because the way he was killed, it was inhumane. The way he was besieged in his own house, it was inhumane. So let's continue with this. And as I told you before, another virtue of Uthman radiallahu anhu, you remember the story of the mountain of Uhud? When the Prophet was on top of the mountain, this is another also virtue of Uthman radiallahu anhu. When the mountain of Uhud started trembling and shaking, the Prophet talked to the mountain and he said, "Uthbut Uhud, fama alayka illa nabi wa siddiq wa shahidan." Be firm, Uhud. There is none on top of you except a prophet, and that's the Prophet ﷺ, wa siddiq, that's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, wa shahidan, and two martyrs. Who are the two martyrs? Umar radiallahu anhu and Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then we talked about his modesty and his shyness. And can you imagine somebody the angels will feel shy from? What type of status is that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I told you the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let's jump and talk about Uthman as the Khalifa radiallahu anhu. I told you the story how he was chosen as a Khalifa at the very beginning. Remember when Umar radiallahu anhu nominated six names and he told his son Abdullah ibn Umar to be the moderator and they should choose one of the six. Do you still remember the six? Shall I embarrass you? I mean, shall I quiz you? Do you remember the six? Let's say them together. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu and Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu. And what did they end up doing? We said they delegated Abdul Rahman ibn Awf to go after everybody, you know, waved the right. Sa'd said, I'm not going to be one of these six. I don't want to be the Khalifa. And Zubayr said, me too. Okay? Who else? Talha ibn Ubaidillah, the same. So they said, you know what? Who are remaining after Zubayr is out, Sa'ad is out, Talha is out? Three. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib. They said, Abdurrahman said, I will be the one doing the job to choose one of the two. So he's out too now. So it ended up the short list after the six. It was shortlisted by two. Who are the two? Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhuma. And Abdul Rahman went and he did shura amongst the top of the Sahaba. And he ended up concluding the fact that Uthman was the one. But still he said, we will bring Uthman and Ali in front of the people and we will let them, you know, choose. So when he brought them both, as we mentioned earlier, he went to the member and they gathered the Muslims in the masjid. And after he made a long dua, then he talked to Ali, as I told you, and he said, Ali, extend your hand. If I give you the pledge of allegiance to be the next Khalifa, would you make sure that you follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the exact same way and actions of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma after that? And then Ali said, no, I can only give you the promise that I'll do my best within my own capacity. As if he's saying, I'm afraid that I might fail to be exactly like the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Uthman. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf wanted to give the same chance to the second candidate, that was Uthman. So in front of the people, he said, Uthman, give me your hand. If I give you the pledge of allegiance to be the next Khalifa of the Muslims, would you follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the exact same way and actions of Abu Bakr and Umar? And Uthman said, Allahumma na'am. He said, yes. So now that Ali said, no, I can only promise it's according to the best of my abilities. But Uthman said, yes, I will do that. So he gave him the pledge of allegiance. And he said, so now Uthman accepted. So he's going to be the Khalifa. And everyone else in the masjid, they rushed to Uthman. And they gave him the bay'ah, the pledge of allegiance to be the Khalifa of the Muslims. Let's talk a little bit about his justice. Subhanallah. One day, he had a servant. And you know, sometimes those slaves, servants, or maids, sometimes they're rebellious, sometimes they don't do the job the way it should be. But Uthman was very patient. But one day, as a human being, he got mad at one of his servants. So what did he do to him? Did he slap him in the face? Did he torture him? Like Umayyah ibn Khalaf used to do to Bilal ibn Rabah or others? No. All what he did, he just held him by the nose and he did this. You know, when you squeeze somebody's ear, and then subhanAllah, Uthman remembered the Akhirah. So he started calling him back. He said, come here. So he came, he said, hold my ear. And of course, the slave was so scared. He said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, how can I do this? He said, hold my ear. He said, I can't. So he started dealing with something. I said, hold my ear. So he just like touched his ear. He said, squeeze it the way I did it to you. He said, I can't do that. He said, do it now. Because if you take it right now, it's easier for me. If I stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment and you take my hasanat. Subhanallah. Look how fearful they were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how You know, they always thought about the Dar al-Akhirah. Uthman radiallahu anh was known for reciting the entire Quran in his tahajjud. Allahu Akbar. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say this ayah in surah number 39, ayah number 10, ayah number 11. This ayah is about Uthman radiallahu anhu. Because he used to do lots of qiyam and lots of qunut to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah revealed this ayah, they say it's about Uthman radiallahu anhu.
أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا.
Subhanallah. Allah is saying, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ. As for the one who is standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night, سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا. So he's in a state of sujood while he's doing qiyam. يحضر الآخرة ويرجو رحمة ربه. Why is he doing this? Because he's afraid of the day of judgment, and he wants the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would he get so scared of just squeezing the ear of one of his slaves when other people slap them and torture them? What was the motive? Because he remembered the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'arij.
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ.
And those who are fearful of the day of judgment, because the heart is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can switch and change your heart within 1 second. And by the way, the word heart in Arabic, it's called qalb. And they say in Arabic, وَمَا سُمِّيَ الْقَلْبُ قَلْبًا إِلَّا لِأَنَّهُ يَتَقَلَّبُ. So the qalb, meaning heart, it, in Arabic, it means something that switches, something that changes all the time. They say it's always called this because within 1 second, your heart can switch. And instead of being guided, you could be a deviant person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us firmness and steadfastness in Islam until we meet him, inshallah. Of course, during the time of Uthman, you know, there was lots of money. Subhanallah, he used to distribute meat to people, you know, butter and rice, sometimes even money, because of the like good financial situation during his time, radiallahu anhu. There were so many conquests that happened during his time to many parts in the world, like Khorasan, which is close to what's known as Iran now, Syria, Qobros, which is Cyprus, and North Africa, and Islam was spreading more and more and more. But one time, a man came to Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he said to him, أدرك الناس يا أمير المؤمنين. Try to do something to save the people, O ruler of the believers. And why did I say Amir al-Mu'mineen? The first one to be given the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Why? Because Amr ibn al-As, one day he entered and he said to Umar radiallahu anhu, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Umar said, hold on, what are you saying? Where did you get this from? And he said, aren't we the believers? He said, yes. He said, aren't you our Amir, like leader? He said, yes. He said, then you are Amir al-Mu'mineen. Then Umar said, okay, I'll let it go. He was so strict. So that was the first one to be called Amir al-Mu'mineen. And since then, you know, any Khalifa after that was called Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Amir means leader, and Mu'mineen means believers. So a man came to Uthman and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, I don't have to translate it now, right? He said, Ya Amir, Adrik al-Nas. He said, what's happening? He said, you know, the Quran was revealed ala sab'at ahruf. There were different ways of reciting the Quran, and even people, like, you know, they wrote this down. So people started differing amongst themselves. You know what? Our riwayah is the most authentic one. The other ones, no, our riwayah is the more authentic one. So Uthman radiallahu anhu was very wise. Remember what we mentioned during the time of Abu Bakr, when the Quran was compiled in one mushaf? Where was that mushaf kept with? You remember? Hafsa, the mother of believers radiallahu anha. So when Uthman heard about this fitna that the people are fighting, he commanded the mushaf that was compiled by Abu Bakr. Remember the committee chaired by Zayd ibn Thabit? And he asked Zayd ibn Thabit to come, and Zubayr, and 10 amongst the Sahaba. And he asked that copy that was, or the compilation of the Quran at Hafsa's house, to be brought to him. And he brought the Sahaba and he said, I want you to make copies of this one, the one that was compiled by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then he commanded every other copies that were in the hands of the Muslims, and he got them burned to stop that tribulation and fitna happening in the Ummah. This is why some ignorant people, they say, Uthman burned the Mus'haf, Uthman changed that. In fact, Uthman did the best thing because he kept the unity of the Ummah following the same Mus'haf that was compiled. And these are the exact words of the Quran that were gathered and just put in one volume, as I told you. And every single verse was verified against two of the Huffaz who memorized the Quran directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that clear? So this was one of the achievements also of Uthman radiallahu anhu, that he united the Ummah. And this is why, subhanAllah, when you open the Mus'haf today, what do you find at the beginning? You'll find something written, بالرسم العثماني. The Ottoman, like, you know, calligraphy. And subhanAllah, this is the exact copy that has been kept being copied since that time until today. Then, subhanAllah, remember when we said that, you know, somebody saw a dream of Umar radiallahu anhu, that he was the door, and once that door will be opened, the fitna of this ummah will start till the day of judgment. That's exactly what happened at the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu used to appoint people who are knowledgeable and fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his family was very extended. So some of them were appointed. So some people of the hypocrites started spreading rumors that Uthman is getting too old and he's making mistakes and he's appointing his family members, and they started spreading rumors amongst the people. And they used, subhanAllah, three things against Uthman radiallahu anhu. One of these hypocrites went to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and he knows that Abdullah ibn Umar was one of the most pious amongst the Sahaba. So he went to him and he said, I'll ask you some questions about Uthman. He said, go ahead. He said, didn't he miss the battle of Badr? And Abdullah ibn Umar said, yes. He said, did he leave Uhud after the rumors were spread that the Prophet ﷺ was killed? He said, yes. He said, did he miss the Bay'ah of Ridwan? You know, when the 1400 people were there with the Prophet ﷺ and they gave the Prophet ﷺ the Pledge of Allegiance underneath the tree? He said, yes. Then that hypocrite said, Allahu Akbar! As if he's saying, now we have the right
to kill him because he doesn't deserve to be the Khalifa. And this is, subhanAllah, the same exact way of thinking of young people these days. The way they start getting or being extreme is that they hear something or they listen to something, and then they become their own selves, they become scholars. And they appoint themselves as judges. Oh, this one is good, this one is bad, and we should bring the ummah back by doing this and by doing this and by doing this. And wallahi, 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 if you were even to ask them about the meaning of one ayah in the book of Allah, they wouldn't know it. What type of knowledge do you have to give yourself such a position? And that was the beginning, from that time until today. And it will continue to the day of judgment. Once Umar was martyred, the fitna started at the time of Uthman until today. So Ibn Umar understood how conniving and how evil that hypocrite was. So he called him back. He said, come back here. I thought that you were verifying that these things happened, but let me explain to you the fact that Uthman radiallahu anh missed the Battle of Badr. It doesn't mean that he did this purposely or intentionally. It was because the Prophet ﷺ commanded him to stay behind and take care of Ruqayyah, who was extremely sick. And if the Prophet ﷺ commands you not to do anything, if you don't follow that, you're going to hellfire. So it was the command of the Prophet ﷺ. He was honoring that. As for the Battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all of those who did that. So who are you to judge him? And as for Bay'at al-Ridwan, subhanallah, the Bay'ah was made because of Uthman. Why? Because Uthman was sent to negotiate with the people of Mecca so that they would allow them to go and do the Umrah. And when he was late, so the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ thought that he was killed. So the Prophet ﷺ asked them, would you give me the Pledge of Allegiance that you will be ready to sacrifice your souls and your wealth and your children to support Islam? And all of them said yes. So the Prophet ﷺ shook hands with every single man who attended that bay'ah. But of course he didn't shake hands with the women who were there. And then he did this and he said, Allahumma hadihi an Uthman. Because Uthman was not there. So the Prophet ﷺ shook his own hand. He said, and I'm giving the bay'ah to Uthman because he's not with us. Because if he's dead, I'm giving him the bay'ah. If he will come back, I'm giving him the bay'ah. Those hypocrites know nothing about Uthman to say this about him. But unfortunately, they started recruiting people. And they went everywhere and they started making fitna in the ummah. And they came and they besieged the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu for 40 days until he was not allowed food or water. And subhanallah, most of the Sahaba rushed to him. Ali radiallahu anhu sent Al-Hasan al-Husayn, and Al-Zubayr came, and Ibn Umar came, all of them, Abu Huraira, they all rushed to him and they said, it's time to fight these hypocrites. And he said to all of them, please, go back home. I don't want a single drop of blood to be shed for the sake of Uthman. Blood can only be shed for the sake of Allah. Go home. And even some people asked him, why don't you leave the Khilafah and stop this fitna? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam interpreted a dream that I saw one time. He was wearing a shirt, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that shirt, Uthman, don't take it off. And he said, the shirt min da khilafa. So it means, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ told me, I'm going to make it to Jannah because of something bad that will happen to me, I have to be patient till the end. You remember the story? When the Prophet ﷺ said, إِئْذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ فِي بَلْوَى تُصِيبُ أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ فِي بَلْوَى تُصِيبُ. So he will have to go through difficulty, but he will make it to Jannah at the end. So Uthman was sitting in his house, and his wife, Naila, and subhanAllah, he got so thirsty. And he started crying. He said, subhanAllah, what did I do to these people to do this to me? I was the one who bought the wool of Roma, and I gave it to all the Muslims. And today I'm denied just a sip of water. And the night before he was martyred, he saw a dream that he was sitting in Jannah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar, and there was food in front of them. And then he wanted to extend his hand and eat from the food, but they told him, no, you will eat with us tomorrow. And he woke up. So he knew that they're gonna kill him the following day. So he started fasting. And he said, I'm gonna break my fast in Jannah with the Prophet and with Abu Bakr and Umar. And subhanAllah, that day he was holding the Mus'haf, reading the Quran, when these six hypocrites, they don't even have the courage to come through the door. They came through the roof. And one of them, he stabbed him 9 times. And the first drop of blood came on the Quran that he was reciting, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will take care of them. And subhanAllah, Uthman ibn Affan made dua against them. And all of the six died the exact same way Uthman made dua against them. They lost their limbs and they became blind before they died. And subhanAllah, the last thing or the last part of the dua, and he said, and Ya Allah, make hellfire their abode. So they were like walking in the streets blind, you know, trying to walk, but they were like, you know, like they lost their limbs, and saying, An-Nar, An-Nar. They said the only thing left from the dua of Uthman is hellfire. So they're calling for hellfire to come to them. So they stabbed him, and the blood started running on the Mus'haf. And this is how Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away, meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he refused anyone to defend him, because he knew. And then people were in shock to see this happening. But of course, everybody was expecting it after that siege. And people were divided amongst two groups. What should happen next? Should we find, because these six, after they did what they have did, they ran away. So the Muslims or the believers were divided amongst themselves into two groups. One group said, shall we find the killers of Uthman first, or should we have a Khalifa for the Muslims to take over, and then later on we should find these six and do qisas on them? That's what we're going to be starting with, inshallah, next Sunday, inshallah, with the last Khalifa, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anh. We can open the floor, inshallah, for 2 or 3 questions. Yeah. So the brother's asking, is saying that there was a statement that was attributed to Umar radiallahu anhu, where he said, if Abu Ubaidah is here, I wouldn't even be the Khalifa. SubhanAllah, the Sahaba amongst themselves, they showed so much respect, and they exercised the quality of selflessness, al-ithar. And everybody amongst them saw everyone else better than himself. Okay? So at the Khilafah, at the time of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, It was always Khalid ibn al-Walid, the leader of the battles. Okay? But Umar disagreed with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was in favor of Abu Ubaidah. Because Abu Ubaidah also was a general in the army. So, we all know that Khalid ibn al-Walid attended 99 battles. And he never lost one. Before Islam or after Islam. So the people started developing that aqidah, that victory comes at the hands of Khalid ibn Walid. So if Khalid is not there, then they wouldn't have victory. But we all know as Muslims, who gives victory? وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Victory only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalid ibn Walid is a means, right? So subhanAllah, the first thing, and this is, I'm sharing that story to go back to the question. The first thing Umar radiallahu anhu did after he became the Khalifa, guess what? He fired Khalid ibn Walid as the commander of the army, and he appointed Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And he didn't do this for personal reasons, no. He wanted the people to understand that there could be Abu Ubaidah, there could be someone else, he'll be the commander of the army, but then Allah will give us victory. Okay? And the command of Umar came to Abu Ubaidah during the battle. And Khalid was still the commander. Do you know what Abu Ubaidah did? It's amazing, wallahi. He kept the letter of Umar till the end of the battle. Even though that Umar said, once this message reaches you, you are supposed to be the commander of the army and Khalid ibn Walid should step down. But he kept it with him until the end of the battle. And then he talked to Khalid in a very nice way. He said, Umar radiallahu anh sent a message and he's commanding me to be the commander of the army. And Khalid said, why didn't you tell me? He said, no, I could never do this during the battle. But I'm just informing you now. What did Khalid do? Did he lead a coup d'etat and he became the commander and he killed Umar? No. He said, سَمْعًا وَطَاعًا لِأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I listen and obey the leader of the believers. And guess what? He did not become the second in command or the leader of a battalion, he became a soldier. Can you imagine if somebody being the minister of defense and goes down to be an enlisted soldier in the army because they were not there, because they were hungry for power? No, they were there serving the deen of Allah. This is why there was that close relationship between Umar and Abu Ubaidah. And if I take you back to Saqifat Bani Sa'idah, remember that day when they wanted to choose a Khalifa to the Prophet ﷺ, and the body of the Prophet ﷺ was still there because they wouldn't bury the Prophet ﷺ until they have a head for this Ummah. When they met in the Saqifa, do you know that Abu Bakr, when he stood up to speak, what did he say? He took the hand of Abu Ubaidah and the hand of Umar, and he said, I will accept one of these two people if you would accept them. This is why both Abu Bakr and Umar have so much respect to Abu Ubaidah. And the Sahaba never had that personal hard feelings that we might feel now if somebody were to say, you do this, you don't do this. Because they remember what the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You will never attain full iman until you love for your brother what you love for yourself.
So many times they would say things, you know, to show respect to each other. So that statement was just a show of respect to Abu Ubaidah. Like, for example, Ali radiallahu an was one of the advisors of Umar radiallahu an. Okay? And one day they brought a woman who gave birth to a child after 6 months. That was the first case ever. And Umar radiallahu an jumped to the conclusion. He said, that woman must have committed adultery. Bring her. We're going to stone her to death. And Ali said, wait. And he reminded him of two ayahs in the Quran. What are the two ayahs? And subhanAllah, these two ayahs saved that woman from that. First ayah is, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. What does that mean? حَمْلُهُ means the time of pregnancy. وَفِصَالُهُ means the time at which the mother should wane her baby, stop breastfeeding him or her. If you put them together, they make how many months? 30 months. Keep this in mind for now. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the other ayah, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ. So mothers, if they want to breastfeed their children, they should do this for 2 full years. What's 2 full years? How many months? 12 plus 12 is 24. And then Allah said, the pregnancy and the waning is 30 months. So if we take the 24 month, what remains? How many months? 6. So a woman can deliver a premature child at the age of 6 months. But that was the first case at the time of Umar. So he thought that the woman might have done something wrong. And then when Ali radiallahu anhu reminded him of the two ayahs, the life of the woman was saved, and Umar made a dua. He said, subhanAllah, imagine if Ali was not there, what would Umar will have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I killed that woman? So that doesn't mean that Ali is better than Umar or Abu Ubaidah is better than Umar. You know, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set that order, it's the order of their status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though you would hear Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr saying things unbelievable. You know, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one time he was standing in his front yard and he saw a bird moving from one branch of a tree to another branch of a tree to another branch of a tree. He started crying and he said, يَا لَيْتَنِي مِثْلَ هَذَا الْعُصْفُورِ يَتَنَقَّلُ مِنْ غُصْنٍ إِلَى غُصْنٍ ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَقُولُ لِي رَبِّي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا فَأَكُونُ تُرَابًا. Abu Bakr, the man who was promised Jannah, the first one, while he was still walking on earth, he said, I wish I am like that bird. I would move from one branch to another branch to another branch, and on the Day of Judgment, God will tell me, be dust, and I wouldn't be exposed to the punishment in hellfire. He also said, لو أن إحدى قدمي في الجنة والأخرى خارجها ما أمنت مكر الله. Abu Bakr says, if one of my feet is inside Jannah, paradise, and the other one is still outside, I wouldn't feel safe. I wouldn't have guaranteed that I'm going to make it to Jannah. Umar radiallahu an, one day, standing in front of his house, starts crying and he said, يَا لَيْتَنِي شَعْرَ فِي صَدْرِ الصَّدِّيقِ. I wish I am a hair in the chest of Abu Bakr. وَاللَّهِ لَوْ نَادَى مُنَادٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. By Allah, that's Umar speaking. If someone were to call on the Day of Judgment, and كُلُّ النَّاسِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, illa rajulun wahid la dhalantu annahu ibn al-Khattab. Look at the humbleness. He said, if somebody were to call on the day of judgment that all people will make it to Jannah except for one person, I would think that person is Umar ibn al-Khattab. Please try to compare this to us today. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you tawfiq, you know, to pray Eid, how proud do you feel of yourself as a Muslim? What if you made it to two Jum'ah, mashallah, in a row? What if you pray Taraweeh, mashallah, in Ramadan, which is nafila anyway? And some people are keen on Taraweeh, but they might miss Isha. And I'm warning you, Eid is coming, inshallah, very soon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extend our life to witness Laylatul Qadr. Say Ameen. And may Allah extend our life till we reap the Ja'izah in the last day of Ramadan. And attend Eid, inshallah, with your loved ones. Say Ameen. I will remind you on that day, people will come to Salatul Eid, and many of them will miss Salatul Fajr. Which one is fard? Which one is nafila? Fajr is fard. But I'm going to take a photo, inshallah, of how many people will come to Fajr on the day of Eid, and I will take another photo of the people who come to Eid, and will put them together on the website. Just as a reminder, because one of the signs that Allah accepted your hard work in Ramadan is that you continue after Ramadan with the spirit of Ramadan. I'm not saying exactly like Ramadan, but at least with the spirit of Ramadan. If you do Qiyam in Ramadan for that long, at least continue Qiyam with 3 rak'ah, inshallah. May Allah accept from us all, inshallah. May Allah make us amongst those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive of all of our parents and our grandparents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us shahada at the moment of death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawbah before death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us jannah after death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our good deeds. May Allah accept our siyam, our qiyam, our ruku', our sujood, our dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those whom He will save from hellfire today, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our tongues to say the truth and guide our hearts to follow the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the last words before we meet Him, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Mm-hmm.